The scripture lesson this morning is Isaiah 62, 1 through 5. It's in your bulletin, so read along with me. For Zion's sake, I won't keep silent, and for Jerusalem's sake, I won't sit still until her righteousness shines out like a light and her salvation blazes like a torch. Nations will see your righteousness, all kings your glory. You will be called by a new name, which the Lord's own mouth will determine. You will be a splendid garland in the Lord's hand, a royal turban in the palm of God's hand. You will no longer be called abandoned, and your land will no longer be called deserted. Instead, you will be called, my delight is in her, and your land married. Because the Lord delights in you, your land will be cared for once again. As a young man marries a young woman, so your sons will marry you with the joy of a bridegroom because of his bride. So your God will rejoice because of you. This is the word of God.
Prayer of thanksgiving, by the way. Where did they go? I wanted to lift up our youth, and now they're all gone. Well, just in time. Oh, they are? Aw, isn't that great? That's even better. Now, so many of them are going on the Sierra Service Project mission trip this year, and they were all sitting back there, and I just wanted to thank God for that. So, I love this passage. It's really beautiful, and it deals with marriage. Now, I have done a few weddings in my time, enough to have noticed some patterns, and one thing that I've noticed is that in premarital counseling, the couples are usually very, you know, frank and down to earth and kind of breezy about talking about their relationship, and even when we talk about few things in the future, sort of projecting into the future, like, you know, how do you see yourself handling discipline with your children, given where you've come from and how you've been raised, questions like that, or money and finances and the household, how do you see yourself running those things in the future? Well, they talk about these things, and it seems like, you know, it's in the distance. It's out there somewhere, you know. There's a detachment from it when they talk about it. But all of that seems to change on the day of the ceremony. On the ceremony day, you see the bride coming up the aisle, and no matter how breezy or down to earth or detached she has been in her speaking and in her arranging the ceremony, any of that stuff, it all goes away. There's like a transformation that happens in that bride. Her demeanor is different. She is open, her face, you know, and it's shining, and her eyes, and this is the key, her eyes to me just look like deep wells. And it seems as though whatever she sees, whatever she's looking at, she sees what's there, but she's seeing something else. She's seeing beyond what's there to the future. A future that is just full of promise and full of expectation and full of delight. And she walks up that aisle, you know, and the groom who's been standing there and, you know, very much in the moment, kind of like, you know, dealing with the guests and, you know, talking to people and, you know, worrying about timing and his groomsmen and those kinds of things that are really planted in the moment. As soon as he catches the eye of that bride of his, he's swept away too. And both of them get this look on their face like they're here, but a lot of them is in this beautiful there, future. Now, I mean, that may be just me, you know. I mean, after all, standing up there, you know, between me and the groom and the bride, there's this powerful elixir of like cologne and perfume and stuff like that. So maybe I'm just a little high when I'm looking at that. But actually, I really don't think so. I think it's a real thing. I think it's a real thing. And it's one reason that pastors love to do weddings. You know, it's one reason that pastors often have to feed the answers to the bride and the groom to really simple questions like, do you take this man, you know, to be your... Because they're there, but they're not there. Well, as beautiful as that phenomenon is, and gorgeous as it is to witness, I think it points to something that is, that's a miracle about marriage. It points to the essence of the miracle of marriage, and that is commitment. That as that bride and that groom are standing at that altar, they are in the seat of commitment. They're in this vortex of commitment. They personify commitment to each other. In their vows, they express to God and to their families and to their friends their commitment to each other. And commitment, I think, in itself, even though it's intangible, commitment is something that is a bridge to the future. It makes the future more real. It's like a catalyst that puts the future in motion when those two people commit to each other. This passage today, it comes from Isaiah, and once again, it's a love poem from God to his people who are struggling to be his people while in exile in a strange land. You remember the people of Israel were conquered and taken into Babylon to be in servitude. And they were struggling to recapture their roots, to understand how they could be the people of God in this strange land. But like everything else that comes to us in the Bible, sure, it was written to them, but it's also written to us in the 21st century. It's written to us, we, God's people, who are also trying our best to live as his people in a sometimes hostile culture, in a strange land. Well, God expresses his commitment to those people, his commitment to us. He expresses in this passage his commitment to us, and he calls us to respond with a commitment of our own. Our commitment. Our commitment to join in his vision for who we are. To join his vision of who we are and to commit to him as though we were married to him. Now, some of us are already married and we're thinking, you know, I'm not so sure I really want to bring another marriage into this thing, you know. My marriage is functioning or dysfunctioning just fine right now, and that's okay. Some of us are not married, we're single. Maybe we're looking to get married and we're thinking, gee, I don't know if I really want to bring the baggage of another marriage as I go out there looking for that special, you know, human, that special person. Some people, you know, may not want to have me married to God. Kind of cramps their style. But you know what? God wants us to have that commitment to him, to think of ourselves as married to him, because when we do, it helps us. It helps us to choose relationships wisely. It helps us to define what love really is. It helps us to deepen that love when we have it. It helps us to establish strong marriages and improve the ones that we have. Because the things that God wants to coax out of us, encourage in us by this marriage to him are the same things that we really want to encourage in ourselves and in those to whom we are related, those whom we love. Things like pride. Pride in the good sense, where we're proud of who we are. And things like identity, I guess, is the best way to say it. Understanding who we really are in God's eyes. Those are good things to bring into our relationships. And all of that really hinges on commitment. Well, God writes this poem of commitment to his people. These people who have been super unfaithful to him. People about whom Isaiah says in the first chapter of the book of Isaiah, he says that they have abandoned the Lord. They despised the Holy One of Israel. They turned their backs on God. Now, these are people with whom God has already entered into covenant. He called them to be his people, but they've gone way off the rails in their relationship with God. But see, God has this crazy habit, and you see it over and over and over again in the Bible. He has this crazy habit of not breaking his promises. And he has promised to never forsake these people. So as they are in the depths of this time, after they have rejected God and they're in all kinds of trouble, God tells them, for Zion's sake, for your sake, I won't keep silent. For Jerusalem's sake, I won't sit still until her righteousness shines out like a light and her salvation like a torch. God says to his people, and he says to us, I will agitate, I will work, I will woo, I will do everything to see us come into right relationship with him. And what does that mean, right relationship with him? It's simply understanding and simply knowing that God made us. God knows what's best for us. He knows how we ought to live. He loves us and has our best interest at heart. And it's in our interest to find out what his will is and try our best to do it. And salvation is simply that process by which God works in us to make that possible. It's simple. It's simple. Well, God, he works and he agitates and he works and the Holy Spirit works in us to guide us, to draw us, to bring us into that place where we can commit to him and we can join our lives and our vision of who we are to his vision of who we ought to be. Just like two people when they come together in marriage, they join their visions and they see the same future. That's what God wants. Well, God talks to his people, and he begins to give them a little bit in this part of this poem, just a little bit of this vision of who he sees them to be. Now remember, they are discouraged, they're confused, they're down, they're broken, they're ashamed of themselves. Isaiah says of them this, he says, from head to toe, none are well. There's only bruises and cuts and raw wounds. They're not treated, not bandaged, not soothed with oil. They're just a mess. And God is aware of that, but he envisions how they can be transformed through their commitment to him. You will be, God says, a splendid garland in the Lord's hand, a royal turban in the palm of God's hand. In other words, objects that he holds up proudly, that he wears like a crown, like glory. That's the way he sees each one of us. That's the vision he has for each one of us. Now, I don't know about turbans and, you know, garlands and things like that, but I know a little bit about classic cars because I have one. I have a 1960 Rambler Ambassador, and it's in my garage, right? And right now, I mean, like, it is the epitome of God's people in exile, okay? This thing says, you know, from head to toe, this is like from bumper to bumper, this thing is not well. It's a mess. Because I've neglected it. But I know the vision for that car. You probably do too, because you've probably seen those guys. I mean, they're mostly guys who renovate these cars, right? You know, most of the time when you see one of those beautiful classic cars that's been restored, that person has taken each part out and restored that part painstakingly, lovingly. A lot of times they've had to search the country to find missing parts, but they do. They find a way. They find a way to call those parts to them, and they fix them up. And then they painstakingly and lovingly put that car back together, restore it to the way it's supposed to be. That's what God wants to do. That's what God wants to do. And then you see those guys, and they've got their rag out there, you know. They're standing out at a car show or something, and they're polishing. They're polishing the chrome especially because why? It shines the best. And a little dust falls down, they wipe it away. And they wait. They wait for someone to come over and admire that car. Because the only thing they love more than doting on that car is talking about it. Because they're so proud of it. That's the way God wants to be. That's what he's saying right here. Every single one of us like that. Oh, I'm so proud of this thing. This thing I made. Come on. Come on. God wants to be proud of us. And he wants us to be proud of ourselves. Not in a bad way. Not in a boastful way. In a way that we think that we're superior to other people. He wants us to be proud of ourselves, understanding that when we are at our best, it's because of what God can do. You know, it's a reflection of what God can do. And that shines out to other people. Shines. And listen, hey, if we're the kinds of people that God can be proud of, bursting with pride. Oh, don't you think we're going to be awesome husbands and wives? Don't you think we're going to be great fathers and mothers? Don't you think we're going to be just awesome children? Great girlfriends and boyfriends? Yeah. God wants us to buy into that vision he has of us. So proud of what he has made. Well, in this poem, God finally, he lays out one more little vision for his people. His people who are struggling, who actually feel that God has left them behind. Some folks actually thought that God had abandoned them, had left them. I guess they didn't read their Bibles, I don't know. But God speaks to them about giving them a new identity, about helping them understand who they really are. In these days and in this part of the world, a person's name was thought to be connected to their souls like in a mystic way, like your name kind of really summed up who you were. Well, God says, I'm giving you, my people, a new name, a new identity, a new soul. You will no longer be called abandoned, he says. Your land will no longer be called deserted. Instead, you will be called, my delight is in her. You will be called, my delight. And your land will be called married. Imagine if we saw ourselves and we saw other people as God's delight.
in our marriages, if we saw our husbands and our wives as God's delight. When we're dating, if we saw ourselves as God's delight, would it affect who we chose to go out with? Maybe we'd only go out with those people who treated us as God's delight. To remember who we really are. God's delight. Yeah, God wants us to enter into this commitment to Him. He has offered us commitment. He wants us to stand in that seat of commitment and say, I do, to Him. And go off into that vision. Meld our vision of the future, which may be really broken and really kind of messed up and really kind of confused, but to meld it with His, which is right on. Something that is full of pride because it reflects who He is. A future that's His delight. Last Christmas, I got a Christmas card from a couple that I had married the spring before. And on that day when they got married, it was gorgeous, man. It was like beautiful spring day. It was just like the bluest of skies and gorgeous green. Everything was green around them. The bride was beautiful white gown, you know. The groom was sharp black tux. And they both wore that look of commitment to each other, that look of the future. The future is here now. Well, I received this postcard, this Christmas card, and the picture on the front, it was a little different. I mean, you know, the white dress was gone and the black tux was gone. They'd kind of replaced it with work clothes, you know, around the house clothes. There was a dog now in their life, and they were standing in front of this house. And planted right in the lawn, there was a sold sign, and they were posing with this sold sign in front of their house. The future had become real. But you know what? The face was the same. They still had that look, you know, that shining look, that open look, that look of real pride in each other, delight in each other, commitment to each other, and commitment to God. Oh, goodness. That's a good picture for us every single morning, you know, as we wake up. You know, we're, most of us here, you know, we've said I do to God. We know that we're down with God. We're Christians and all that. We've accepted, we've said the vows, you know. We've taken the ring of Jesus' sacrifice for us. That cements us to God. But every single day, we need to recommit, don't we? Don't we need to recommit to God? Oh, don't we need to recommit in our marriages to each other? We do. We do, in order to make our land married. Our land in our nation, sure. Our land in our communities, yeah. But you know what? Wherever we stand is God's land. Wherever we stand is our land. And we want our land to be married to God, yeah? So let's go forward this week. And I hope every single morning God hears wedding bells. I hope He hears wedding bells. I hope He sees us standing there. Let's go. Let's go into the future. Let's pray. Oh, Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your word. It is just so awesome. And it just spans time and brings us to You. So we praise it. We praise Your word because it is sacred. So Lord, we just ask that You walk with us now this week. as we go throughout our week, help us to enter into your vision for us through your word, through our prayer life, through what we do, and through how we see ourselves. Help us see ourselves the way you envision us, dear God, as your people. In Jesus' name, amen.